text, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries Presents. At night, at Carmela's Ristorante. Title, Death al Dente, a gourmet detective mystery. Outside the restaurant, string lights glow on bushes. In a home above the restaurant, a desk next to a lamp. Text, Dylan Neal. Brooke Burns. In a darkened bedroom, a woman and man sleep. On the nightstand, a clock reads 3 a.m. The man wakes up. Text, Matthew Kevin Anderson, Mark Sr., Samantha Ferris, Christine Willis, Ali Scope, Chris William Martin. In the restaurant, an intruder creeps into a pantry. Text, Jordana Largie, Camille Sullivan, Aaron Douglas, Ben Wilkinson. In the bedroom, the man grabs a flashlight from a nightstand drawer. In the pantry, the intruder finds a trunk. Text, casting by Jackie Lind, music by James Chandrasch. The man walks downstairs as the intruder rifles through the trunk. Text, edited by Gordon Ramble, the man enters the kitchen and grabs a knife. The intruder startles and closes the trunk. Text, production designer, Sean Kirby, the intruder crouches near the trunk as the man approaches with a knife and flashlight. Text, director of photography, Neil Servin, produced by Harvey Kahn, the man walks toward the pantry. Text, executive producers Becky Southwell, Dylan Neal. The intruder knocks the man to the ground, then runs. The man glimpses the intruder's red sneakers. In the daytime, the San Francisco skyline. In a police station, a detective, Maggie Price, makes a phone call.
Call him back in, Joe. I'd like to go over his statement one more time, if that's okay. Yeah. Thanks.
Price, just heard from the DA. De Silva got sentenced to 55 years, no parole. Looks like another win for you.
You mean for us?
Hey, you made us all look good.
Okay. What do you need?
What? I'm just trying to congratulate you. Okay, look, I've been trying to date this really beautiful girl for like a couple of months now, and she's finally said yes, but she's only available tonight, in an hour.
Oh, God, bro, somebody canceled on her last minute, and you're the backup guy.
I know, I'm okay with that. Can you cover for me?
I am wearing my coat, holding my car keys, and walking to the door. Does it look like I can cover for you?
Come on, just this one time?
You said that last time. Look, tonight my mom is making a roast, and I swore to her that I would be home by 6:30, and now because I am standing here and talking to you, I'm already running late, so no. And you know what? You deserve to be somebody's first choice, Monroe.
You do. Hey, Bryce, could you just tell
tomorrow.
Me... Tomorrow. No, I'm just saying, maybe you can...
Let the woman walk out the door, people.
Thank you.
Night.
At least bring some leftovers.
Maggie opens a door and steps into her foyer.
Hi, guys.
She hangs her bag and coat.
It all smells so good.
As she turns toward the kitchen, her smile fades.
Hi, honey. How was work?
Her eyes narrow.
What are you doing in my house?
Henry's teaching me a new recipe.
We are having crown lamb roast with wild mushroom,
roasted potatoes, mixed vegetables, stuffing... with red wine reduction.
With oven mitts, Henry lifts the roast pan onto a counter.
You don't look happy to see me.
I just wasn't expecting company.
How about company that brings good wine?
Getting happier by the second.
I will pour you a glass.
Thank you.
Here's Abby.
She did her homework. I told her she could go get burgers with some friends.
Again? My 14-year-old has a better social life than I do.
Well, that wouldn't be hard, dear. I don't know what we're going to do for dessert. That mess was supposed to be a meringue.
Well, I'll tell you what. I am going to a party later this evening. Friends of mine won Restaurant of the Year award, and they're celebrating. It's at Carmela's.
Oh, I know that place.
Well, you two should join me.
I wish I could, but I have to read the last chapter of a book for book club tomorrow.
Didn't you just say you started that book this morning, Mom?
Well, yes, but it's easier to fake it when I know how it ends. But to go.
I don't know. It's a work night.
Didn't you just swear to me last week you were going to start to say yes to things? I've had their panna cotta.
Oh, isn't their panna cotta the best? I mean, seriously, you have done that.
Okay, if it'll get you two to stop, I'll go.
As Maggie walks away, her mother smiles.
You're welcome.
Henry blinks, then smiles to himself. At night, guests mingle at Carmela's Ristorante. Maggie smiles as she enters.
Oh, yeah, of course I remember this place.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. It's been around for 70 years.
Well, thank you for the invite. It's actually nice to get out.
My pleasure.
A chef turns toward Henry.
Henry Ross, right?
Yes.
I recognize you from your blog. My ex-girlfriend was obsessed with it. Mathilde Durand.
Oh, you're the new chef. I've heard great things about you. This is my friend, Maggie Price.
How do you do?
So, Matteo, you were the sous chef over at Villa Alfresco before joining Leo here, right?
I don't know how you knew that.
I don't know. I guess it's my job to know stuff like that. I am a consultant to the food industry.
As he loves to remind me.
Well, congratulations on the award. I'm sure that the changes you've made to the menu here had something to do with that.
And do me a favor, tell Leo that.
Oh, I think you've told me that yourself enough times, Matteo.
Leo smiles smarmily.
Henry, I'm so glad you could make it.
Oh, it's so great to see you, too. This is my friend, Maggie Price. This is Claudia and Leo. They're the owners and longtime friends.
Chef, thanks for backing up with the kitchen.
Thanks, Doc. I'll be right there. If you'll excuse me.
Of course.
Matteo leaves.
I need to make sure everyone's drinks are being refilled, so enjoy yourselves and save room for dessert. It was nice meeting you, Maggie.
You as well.
Claudia follows Matteo.
You know, I think I'm gonna go check on Abby quickly. I'll be right back.
All right.
Henry stands with Leo.
So, things not going so well with the new chef?
Yeah, you could say that.
Well, I'm sure your grandmother would be very proud of all that you've accomplished.
Yeah, my grandmother would wonder why it took us so long.
On the phone.
Okay, honey. Just make sure you're home by 9. I'll see you when I get in. I love you.
Nearby.
Come on.
You know, we're not discussing this anymore.
Claude, wait.
Enough, I said you need to stop this.
Yeah.
Claudia strides away from Matteo. Maggie overhears. Later, at a table.
So, Maggie, what do you do?
I'm a detective with the SFPD.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, something happened here last week that the police aren't taking very seriously.
Really? What happened?
Somebody broke in. I came down the stairs and he took off.
You're kidding. Did he take anything?
No. Nothing's missing.
Hmm. Did you get a look at him?
Yeah, he was wearing a ski mask like a bank robber.
He was tall, he's wearing jeans and a dark sweatshirt and red sneakers.
You know, even in the moment, I remember thinking, how stupid is this guy? I mean, he wants to be incognito when he's wearing red sneakers.
What did the police say?
Oh, not much. They told me to get my alarm system fixed, and they asked a few questions, and then they left.
And the weird part is, he was in the pantry. I don't know what he was expecting to find in there. We have petty cash in a money box in the office, and it wasn't even touched. What do you think?
Well, I think it's time to get your alarm system fixed. Beyond that, I'm afraid I can't be of much help. Break-ins aren't my jurisdiction. I'm in homicide.
Well, then I certainly hope we won't be needing your services anytime soon.
Definitely not.
Later, Maggie returns home.
Oh, thank you. That was fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, I get invited to that sort of thing all the time, so consider it a standing offer to join me.
Thanks. I appreciate the standing offer.
Well.
Henry gazes into Maggie's eyes.
Good night.
Good night.
She smiles politely, then steps onto her porch.
Drive safe.
Okay.
As she unlocks the front door, Henry smiles to himself. In a darkened bedroom, Abby sleeps with a pair of headphones on. Maggie closes Abby's tablet case, then lifts the headphones off the teen's head. Abby stirs in her sleep.
Hey, baby. Sorry, I didn't mean to wake you up.
It's okay. Did you have fun?
I did. Did you? Where'd you guys go?
As Maggie brushes her fingers through Abby's hair, Abby falls asleep again. Maggie smiles to herself, then kisses Abby's forehead.
Good night, I love you.
Maggie stands and leaves Abby's side. At the restaurant, Leo sits alone at a table with a drink. Claudia enters and rests her hands on his shoulders.
Is everything okay?
Yeah.
His face tenses.
Well, are you coming upstairs?
No, not just yet.
A window frames Claudia and Leo as Claudia sits down at the table.
Can I have one of those?
Sure.
Leo uncaps a glass liquor decanter, then pours Claudia a drink. She studies his face as he fixes the drink and shuts the decanter. Then, she takes a deep breath.
Cheers.
They toast.
To Matteo. A master chef.
As he sips his drink, she looks away.
I was gonna say to us.
Were you?
Claudia stares.
Leo, please don't start.
I see the way he looks at you. Sometimes I think I see you looking at him the same way.
Well, then you see things. Look, if you don't like having Matteo around, fire him.
Hire a new chef.
He's the reason we won this award, Claudia. I can't fire him.
That's up to you. But either get rid of him or stop accusing me of whatever it is you're accusing me of. I'm tired and going to bed.
She sets down her drink, then leaves the table alone again. Leo takes another sip. In the morning at Maggie's house, Abby comes downstairs and heads toward the kitchen.
Morning, sweetie. Do you want peanut butter?
Plain is fine, thanks.
You look pretty today.
Thank you.
Cute hair. Where's the boy?
What?
Oh, somehow the glitter from your body spray seems to have migrated up to your eyelids.
Mom.
I'm just trying to make sure he's not a senior with a motorcycle.
Ew. He's a freshman with a skateboard.
Oh, well, I am still doing a background check on his entire family.
No need. He doesn't even know I exist.
How can he not? Look at you. And this is not a face that needs makeup.
Mwah. Or is allowed to wear it.
Maggie picks up her phone.
Detective Price.
What? You've got to be kidding me.
Maggie arrives at the restaurant.
What happened?
Looks like a B&E gone bad.
The wife,
Claudia.
Claudia?
Yeah.
Yeah, she came back from a run this morning around 6:45 and found Leo lying on the kitchen floor when he'd been shot. He hit his head on the counter and was knocked out.
How's he doing now?
I just got off the phone with a nurse from St. Josephine's Hospital. He's in a coma.
God, I can't believe this. We were just here last night. Leo was telling me about a break-in that happened last week, but he scared the guy off.
Guess the guy came back to finish off the job.
At 7:00 in the morning? Doesn't that seem like a pretty unusual time for a break-in? Do we know yet if anything's missing?
Claudia was pretty hysterical when the first responders arrived, but she did let us into the office to check. $2,000 was taken from the petty cash box that they kept in the desk.
She hadn't had a chance to put it in the bank yet. The guy must have known it was there.
Maggie's arms cross.
I know that look.
Your spidey senses tingling, Price?
So somebody breaks in a week ago, searches around in the pantry, but doesn't take anything, gets interrupted, and runs. Then comes back a week later with a gun, takes some cash, gets interrupted by Leo again, and shoots him?
Well, when you lay it out like that, it does seem a little strange.
Yeah. Until we know what we're dealing with here, I'm going to treat this as an attempted homicide. Get forensics over here. I need to get to the hospital. I'm going to get a statement from Claudia. You keep canvassing the neighborhood. Somebody had to have seen something.
Got it.
And make sure that everybody who works here goes down to the station for interviews. I got to call Henry.
Henry?
Yeah, he was here with me last night. He knows the Trevianos personally. Maybe he can help us.
At the hospital, Henry steps off of an elevator. He walks down a hallway. In a waiting area, Maggie sits with Claudia and waves to Henry.
Claudia, I am so, so sorry.
Henry hugs Claudia, then sits down.
Why would somebody do this to Leo? It doesn't make any sense.
I know.
I'm sorry, Claudia. Just a few more questions, okay? Do you remember if you locked the door behind you when you left?
Claudia shuts her eyes, then looks at Maggie.
I didn't. How could I have been so stupid after the first break-in?
Because it was 7:00 in the morning and perfectly understandable that you didn't lock your door.
Can you think of anyone who would want to harm Leo?
Claudia's tearful gaze lowers toward the floor.
Leo was the last person anyone would want to hurt. I can't imagine.
Maggie studies her, brows slightly arched.
Are we done? I'd really like to go sit with him.
Henry offers Claudia a sympathetic smile as she stands and walks away. Later, at the restaurant, Henry examines Carmela's portrait above the fireplace. In the painting, a heart-shaped diamond necklace dangles around the woman's neck. Henry's brows knit as he thinks. Gloved hands slide open a desk drawer and rifle through office supplies inside. In the drawer, a detective finds a set of earrings. He lifts them out. In the kitchen, an investigator takes photos. The detective enters with the earrings.
These were in the same desk where the cash was taken, untouched, and they look real.
There's no sign of forced entry back here, which means that whoever broke in last week probably had a key. The neighbors didn't hear anything this morning?
One woman across the street said she heard what she thought was a car backfiring at 7:30.
It's nice that some people in the world can hear a gun go off and still think it's a car backfiring.
People really need to be more paranoid.
Yeah.
I found something. That painting of Carmela might be worth a lot of money.
Why is that?
Interesting story, actually. The painter
is a local artist who lived in obscurity until his 90s, when some of his work was selected for the Oval Office. His popularity skyrocketed, and he lived to see it, which, of course, a lot of artists don't. Actually, did you know that Picasso...
I know that there's a point coming.
Henry glares at Maggie.
That painting must be worth well over $100,000. Why didn't whoever robbed the place take the painting?
It's because nobody knows anything about art. I've seen paintings hanging in museums that my 4-year-old niece could have done.
What are you doing here?
I'm investigating a B&E.
I mean, what are you doing in San Francisco? You're supposed to be in Florida.
Oh, well, it turns out I hate humidity. So I'm back at the North Beach Division.
Since when?
Couple months.
Oh.
Hmm.
Henry covers his mouth.
Steve. Sorry, this is Detective Steve Miller. This is Henry Ross. And you remember Bailey and Monroe?
Steve.
Well, welcome back to San Francisco, but this isn't your case. It's in my division.
No, actually. You handle everything west of Valencia Street, and this is on the border, and I'm pretty sure it says in the handbook that we handle everything that's on the border.
Whoa, there's a handbook?
There is no handbook.
Sure, there's a handbook. In fact, it's the one that stipulates I handle all the rinky-dink crimes like robberies, and fancy pants, special units, people like you do the homicides.
There are extenuating circumstances here.
Meaning?
Meaning, I am treating this case as an attempted murder, and it's nice to see that you still haven't gotten over the fact that I got promoted before you.
I haven't gotten over a lot of things.
Henry's eyes dart from Maggie to Steve.
Well, looks like we're going to be teaming up, guys.
That's a terrible idea. You know, Maggie is very possessive of her murder cases.
What do you say, Max? Things worked pretty well for us in the past.
Is that something we even do? Team up with other divisions?
Sometimes. Yeah.
Fine. Let's pool our resources on this one, for now.
Done.
Great. So we'll start in here, and you can start in the dining room.
No, I mean I'm done. I've already gone through the place.
You've tampered with my crime scene?
I started investigating my crime scene, yeah. Did you want to see what I found?
Steve holds up shredded paper.
I got it out of the office in the shredder. I haven't had a chance to tape it back together yet, but...
Well, Bailey and Monroe can handle that.
All right, then. As long as I get to come with you.
Maggie shuts her eyes with resignation.
Fine.
As she reaches for the bag of shredded paper, Steve grips it. With a smile, Maggie yanks it out of his hand. She eyes Steve pointedly, then walks away. Henry studies Steve's smirking face, brows knit with concern. At the station, Bailey and Monroe sort through paper shreds.
This is gonna be fun.
Are you kidding me?
I didn't go to the academy so I could sit here and do puzzles?
Come on, man. Between the two of us, this is gonna take like 5 minutes. You just need to figure out where to start.
Nearby, Henry pours coffee. He watches Maggie meet with Steve in an office. Distracted, Henry pours coffee on the floor.
Who is that guy?
Oh, that's, he consults for us.
Since when does the department afford consultants?
He's very good, actually. He helped me solve 2 cases.
Well, he doesn't look like a detective.
He's, yeah, it's a long story.
Make sure it's straight.
How's it going, guys?
Henry approaches Monroe and Bailey.
Since when do you drink our coffee?
Yeah. I was just,
Henry's eyes drift toward Maggie again.
I got it.
Spying.
No, hey, I was not spying.
Okay,
nope.
Sure.
Yeah. Nope.
Guys need any help?
Good luck. Whoever wrote this wrote on both sides of the papers, huh?
Henry studies a paper shred.
Well, why don't you follow the watermark?
Huh?
Yeah, you see how one side is shiny and the other side isn't? That's the watermark.
Well, I'll be.
That is some Sherlock Holmes stuff right there, man.
Look, this shouldn't be that hard. I don't want to step on any toes here, but mind if I give it a try?
Absolutely.
Go right ahead.
Thanks, guys.
Monroe hurries away. Bailey bumps fists with Henry, then puts his feet up as Henry takes on the paper sorting task. In an office, Maggie shares photos with Steve.
Okay, let me get you caught up to speed here. This is the owner, Leo Triviano, his wife, Claudia, and their chef, Matteo Duran. This is Dom. Now, this is Claudia's nephew. He is...
You look good.
He grips her wrist.
Have I mentioned you look good?
Sous chef. No, you haven't.
You do.
He peers at her. She looks away.
Dom is Claudia's...
nephew. Yeah, you said that part.
She smiles.
Right.
She looks at the table to compose herself. Then, they both fidget with their hands.
I was gonna call. I mean, really, I picked up the phone like 10 times, but I just didn't know what to say.
Well, you could have started by explaining why you left without saying goodbye.
Come on, Megs. I mean, you were busy picking up the pieces your ex left when he walked out. I didn't want to be the rebound guy. And I did say goodbye, for the record.
Yes, that was a beautiful text.
Steve looks at the table.
I didn't handle it as well as I could have.
After 6 months together, not to mention the 4 years back in college, no, you didn't handle it as well as you could have.
Because if I came to say goodbye in person, I wasn't sure I was going to be able to leave.
As Maggie studies Steve's face, Henry approaches the office doorway. He sees Maggie and Steve looking into each other's eyes.
All done.
Henry holds up the reassembled document.
Wow, that was fast.
Well, it was a little complicated, but I like complicated.
Maybe you should be consulting with the CIA. I like working here.
So it's a letter?
Yes, it's from Leo's grandmother, Carmela, to her sister, Vera.
Dear Vera, the sun rarely breaks through the fog here, and I miss our life back home. Fausto is no longer the kind man I married, and I feel trapped and alone and miss you all terribly.
I keep our family legacy close to my heart. It is all I have left to remember you by. Your letters bring me so much joy. Please write again soon, your loving sister, Carmela.
Sounds like a typical letter between sisters.
If a little sappy.
She was lonely and wanted her sister to write. You know, some people actually appreciate the odd email letter.
She aims a barbed look toward Steve.
Okay, so Carmela wasn't happy in her marriage, but this was decades ago, and she's been gone for a long time. So why shred the letter now?
Because it contains something important.
That's brilliant. How much does the department pay you?
Henry gives Steve a withering glance.
I agree. It's important. It goes on the board for now. Does anybody have anything else?
How about Sarah Jennings?
Who's Sarah Jennings?
She's a silent investor at Carmela's, along with several other restaurants in town. I'm sure she could give us some information.
Great. Let's call her in for an interview.
Right away.
Henry turns to Steve.
And to answer your question, not enough.
Henry walks away. Steve blinks, hands in his pockets. At the hospital, a person wearing nurse's scrubs rolls a cart with gloved hands. In a hall, they pass an elderly patient. The person wheels the cart into a room, then shuts the door. In a bed, Leo reclines on his back in a coma. Gloved hands reach under a cloth and pull out a syringe. They draw air into the syringe, then attach it to an IV line. A bubble moves through the line toward Leo's arm. The gloved hands remove the syringe from the line. In the hall, the person steps past the elderly patient. Leo's heart monitor suddenly flatlines. A nurse rushes into the room, then leans into the hall.
Code 2-425!
Code 2-4-D, code 2-4-D.
He's in arrest. Give him one CC of Epi. Hang on, Mr. Triviano.
On Leo's monitor, the number 0 blinks. The line remains flat. Later, Claudia cries in the doorway of Leo's room. Henry approaches and rests a hand on her shoulder.
Hey.
She holds a bag of Henry's belongings.
I just went home to shower. I thought I could leave Leo for an hour. I can't believe he's gone.
Leo's bed is empty. Tearfully, Claudia turns to Henry.
Henry,
What? What is it?
We had a fight last night. I didn't wait up for him. I was too upset. And now those are the last words I'll ever say to him.
Oh, Claudia, don't do that to yourself.
He hugs her. As the hug ends, Henry hesitates as he looks at her tear-streaked face.
Listen, I have to ask you a question, and I know that this is horrible timing. But we found something at the restaurant. Carmela wrote this letter to her sister in 1944. Do you have any idea how this ended up back in the States?
You have to ask me about this now?
No, I know. But I think this might be important.
How?
I don't know yet.
We just went to Italy a few months ago to see Vera because she wasn't doing well.
She passed while we were there.
and Leo brought back a box of things. Things Vera treasured. Letters, photographs. I guess this could have been in there.
Do you know why someone might want to destroy this letter?
No.
As she shakes her head, Henry studies her. In the daytime, seagulls fly over the San Francisco skyline. At a morgue, Maggie arrives.
Nolan.
Oh, Detective Price. I didn't know you were coming by.
I have a medical question to run by you, and I might need a favor. Am I interrupting?
No, not at all. Please, come on in. You see this paperwork? This is the worst part of my job.
Now that's saying something.
Uh-huh. How can I help you?
I need to know how common it is for someone in a coma to have a heart attack.
Well, it happens.
How frequently?
Was the patient under some stress?
He was shot in the stomach, hit his head, and fell into a coma en route to the hospital.
Okay, well, given that kind of trauma, cardiac arrest is a definite possibility.
Still, I got a hunch on this one.
Is this the part where you ask me for a favor?
I need an autopsy. The name is Leo Triviano.
Okay, what are we looking for?
Anything that could have caused a heart attack. Any chemicals in his system, maybe an embolism.
I will get on it right away.
Thanks.
You're the best.
No, you owe me.
I always do.
Outside the station.
You know, we should take a closer look at Mateo. Leo didn't like him.
Why is that?
Claudia told me once that they always fought over the menu. Mateo wanted to change everything, and Leo wanted to stick with tradition.
Good to know.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, also, maybe Leo knew that there was something going on between Mateo and his wife.
What?
They were arguing in the office during the party.
Why didn't you tell me that before?
Well, I'm telling you now. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I think those two are more than just colleagues.
Hey. I was just checking up on our case. I'm sorry to hear about Leo.
Yeah.
You think we're looking at a homicide?
Well, the guy's place gets broken into twice. He's shot and then suddenly passes away from a heart attack. I think that's one too many coincidences in a row. So, I'm gonna treat this as a homicide.
And since that's our division, we'll take it from here.
Steve's brows raise.
Okay, then I will leave you to your case.
Steve walks away.
If you think of anything, call me.
Steve grins and leaves. Now Henry's brows raise.
Call me?
Maggie walks upstairs.
Seriously?
He's a very good detective, Henry.
Uh-huh. How long did you two date?
Boundaries.
Don't have any. Look, was he before or after your ex-husband? Come on. You know I can do this all day.
Before and after.
She strides into the station.
Really?
Yeah. We dated in college and at the academy. And then when I met Richard, I broke with Steve.
And when Richard left, Steve was your shoulder to cry on.
He has pretty nice shoulders.
Well, you can't blame the guy for taking advantage of a situation.
No, it wasn't like that. We were just friends.
And then?
And then things progressed because, you know what? It felt nice to have somebody be there for me when I had just had my heart broken into a million little pieces. And why am I even telling you any of this?
Because I'm a good listener.
No, because you're nosy. Not the same thing.
Maggie, Sarah Jennings is in the conference room like you asked.
Oh, great. Thanks.
To be continued.
No, not to be continued. Can we please just stick to talking about the case? Hey, do you want to come in with me?
That's a good idea. I know Sarah well. You know what? Why don't I lead the interview?
No. You're not going to talk about the case.
You just said stick
with
to...
With me. Yes, not with her. With her, you have to make her feel comfortable. You just have to be your charming self, and maybe she'll open up.
I can be charming.
On second thought...
Watch and learn.
His brows arch. Later, in the conference room.
I just can't believe Leo's dead. And Henry, what do you have to do with this?
I consult with the department sometimes. They bring me in whenever there's a murder involving food or...
A murder? Leo was murdered?
We don't know anything yet. We're just taking a closer look because there are some suspicious circumstances surrounding Leo's death.
Like what?
Well, to begin with, there...
We're not at liberty to say right now.
Right. I suggested that Maggie bring you in to simply talk with you. Sarah, I hate the circumstances, but I gotta admit, it's good seeing you again.
Sarah smiles.
Haven't seen you since that wine festival.
In San Marino, I remember.
Mm-hmm. That was a...
good weekend.
Yeah.
Maggie's brows raise.
I mean, the wine was...
Was excellent.
Yeah.
And the views.
I could get used to that view.
Henry and Sarah grin.
Well, I'm jealous. I wish I had a job where I got to go on wine tasting weekends. Was that part of your role as Leo's silent partner?
Not exactly. Wine tasting's just a hobby.
And how was it? Working with Leo.
Good. I mean, he could be opinionated, but it was just because he was passionate about cooking and upholding his family's legacy, that's all.
Do you think Leo might have had any enemies?
I can't imagine.
And where were you this morning between 7 and 8 a.m.?
Sarah stares at Maggie.
The same place I am every morning, on a yoga mat in the studio in the Bowery.
I'm gonna need the name of the studio.
Sure, of course. Listen, I know you need to look at everyone as a suspect, but I stand to lose and lose big from Leo's death, okay? Who's gonna want to eat at a place where the owner was gunned down in his own kitchen? All the loyalty Carmela's has built up over 70 years is gonna vanish overnight. You watch. Even if by some miracle we stay in business, we'll never fully recover from this. And you know what? I liked Leo. I liked him a lot.
Sarah's brows knit as Maggie studies her.
Now, are we done here?
Maggie fidgets with a pencil.
Sure. We'll call you if we have any more questions.
Sarah gives Henry her card.
That's my new restaurant. Call me anytime you want to come by. I'll make sure you get the best seat in the house.
Okay.
He smiles at Sarah as she leaves, then leans back in his chair.
Well, she's charming.
I always thought so.
Maggie glares. She interviews Mateo while Henry and the captain listen.
How was your working relationship with Leo? Was it a good one?
Not really.
I'd run every tiny little change by him. You have any idea what it's like to be micromanaged?
What can you tell me about this guy?
He's an up-and-comer in the food scene here in San Francisco. Of course. He was a sous chef at a restaurant called Villa Alfresco. That's a...
Yeah, I don't live under a rock, Henry. Villa Alfresco is the hottest restaurant in town. Why would Mateo take a job at a smaller restaurant?
Well, it's not easy getting hired as a head chef. It's very competitive, especially in this city. Leo took a chance on him, but he wouldn't let him take control of the kitchen, and that's one thing that caused an issue between them.
And how long have you been in love with Claudia?
What?
That's the second thing.
You could have led with that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Come on, Mateo. I saw you two arguing at the party.
God, wait.
Enough, I said you need to stop this.
What were you fighting about?
Nothing. Work stuff.
Look. You'd save us both a lot of time by just admitting to an affair right now.
There's nothing to admit to.
Maggie studies Mateo's face.
Okay. Then why don't you tell me where you were when Leo was shot?
Sure. I was in bed, asleep.
Can anyone corroborate that?
Nope. I was alone.
Dom interviews.
Leo was training me to be a chef. He didn't like having someone outside the family running the kitchen.
And where were you this morning when Leo was shot?
I was eating breakfast at home alone.
Were you online, on any social media?
Yeah, sure, I was on Facebook, probably.
On what device?
My phone.
Great, do you have that with you?
Yeah.
I'd love to see it. Thank you.
Maggie browses Dom's phone.
Your location services are enabled. That's good news for you if you never left your apartment this morning. I see you posted a picture of your breakfast, which looks delicious, by the way, at 7:15 a.m. from home. Okay, how long does it take you to get to work?
Well, I live in Oakland. It takes me 40 minutes to get to work.
Earlier today, around noon, were you anywhere near the hospital?
No, I was gonna visit Leo later in the day. At noon, I was still in Oakland at a taco stand on Fruitvale. I'm a regular customer, they should remember me.
Just a few more questions.
She gives back the phone.
How long ago did you start working for Claudia and Leo?
Oh, about 6 months ago.
No, it was right after you moved to San Francisco from New Jersey.
Yeah, they gave me a job right away, no questions asked. I couldn't believe it.
Why?
Because I didn't know them too well. Aunt Claudia and my dad don't speak. See, she was ashamed of my dad. He spent some time in prison.
Frank Brunetti.
Later, in an office.
Dom's father, Claudia's brother. Had 8 years in lockup for armed robbery. Was disciplined several times inside.
When did he get out?
A couple weeks ago.
Interesting timing.
We're trying to locate him.
Look at this.
Henry reads from the letter.
I keep our family legacy close to my heart. Sarah used the word legacy when we talked to her.
That's right, she did. Close to my heart. What does that even mean?
A reputation? No, you wouldn't keep a reputation close to your heart. Maybe her English wasn't perfect. Maybe she meant family memories.
Then why shred the letter?
What if legacy meant something tangible?
Like a will?
Or valuables. It was 1944. People were smuggling all kinds of things out of Europe to keep them safe.
Like family jewels.
Yes. And that's what whoever broke into Leo's place was looking for.
And when he didn't find them, killed Leo.
or tried to. Claudia came home from her run and interrupted them. But Leo had already seen his face, so whoever the guy was had to go back to the hospital to finish the job.
That's a pretty good theory.
Yeah. Claudia had seen the letter, too. I could tell when I showed it to her at the hospital.
What?
Yeah, I mean, she covered, but her hands were shaking when I showed it to her.
No, wait, back up. You're sharing evidence with suspects?
Henry peers at Maggie and the captain.
Bad move?
Yeah, bad move.
Maggie checks her phone.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I can see that now. That, my bad.
Oh, good. Listen, Bailey and Monroe are going to be back in a minute, so why don't you guys start running down alibis together?
What? You want to split up?
I just have to follow up on something.
Where are you going?
I will meet you back here. Why don't you start by confirming that Sarah was at the yoga studio, like she said?
She's no murderer, I would know.
Yes, you're close. We got that part. Check up on her alibi anyway.
Maggie strolls away.
She seemed a little jealous to you.
Keep trying.
The captain strolls away too, later, at the restaurant.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, of course. Your text said it was urgent.
It is. I found a lead.
Oh, really?
Yeah, come here, I'll show you.
Steve steps into the pantry.
Look at this.
A trunk.
It's been broken into, okay? But somebody also dragged it across the floor. You can see the drag marks.
So, did you look through it?
Yeah. It's a bunch of old papers. Nothing of any value, as far as I can tell.
Hmm. So, whoever broke in here ignored the cash in the office because they were looking for something else.
Exactly.
Which I already knew.
Oh, one step ahead of me, just like old times.
If you wanted to relive old times, you could have just asked me for a coffee.
Wait, I've been downgraded to coffee? I thought we were thinking about dinner.
Dinner?
What do you say?
Maggie answers her phone.
Detective Price.
Well, you were right.
I found damage caused by an aneurysm in Leo's heart.
What are the odds of that happening naturally?
Next to none.
So Leo was murdered.
My professional opinion is that someone had to have injected air into Leo's veins and caused a heart attack.
I appreciate your help. Thanks, Nolan. I have to get back to the hospital.
You want some company?
No, but thanks for luring me here under false pretenses.
Anytime.
At hospital.
I checked up on Sarah's alibi. She was at the yoga studio like she said.
Good to know. She's still not off the hook.
Are you a little jealous?
Please.
At a desk.
Hi.
Detective Price, you're back.
Yes, we are. We have some more questions for you, if you have a moment.
Of course.
Do you have any security cameras set up on this floor?
No, the only cameras we have are at the main entrance of the hospital.
We need to know who had access to this floor.
It's an open floor. People are coming and going all day long.
Well, that narrows it down. All right, that's all for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excuse me. You're the police?
Yes, sir. I'm Detective Maggie Price. We're just looking into the death of the gentleman who passed away down the hall.
I was sitting right here when it happened.
Were you? Did you happen to notice anything unusual, or did anybody go into his room?
A nurse went in there with a tray. Left quickly.
A nurse. Can you tell us what she looked like?
Sure. Only it wasn't a she, it was a he.
A man. Are you sure?
It was definitely a man.
Maggie's eyes lift to Henry's. At the police station, Bailey finishes a phone call.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Henry arrives with two coffees. He smiles as he walks up behind Maggie.
I brought you a latte.
Thank you.
She smiles and takes the latte.
So, I talked to the head nurse again this morning. She said that the last time a nurse went into Leo's room was at 12:15 to check on him. His alarm started going off at 12:45. She also confirmed that there are no male nurses that work on Leo's floor, and that there would be no reason for a nurse from another floor to ever enter Leo's room.
Okay, so a guy takes the risk of going into Leo's room in the middle of the day in a busy hospital to kill him.
Exactly. For someone to take that kind of a risk, they must have had a pretty compelling reason for wanting Leo dead.
She looks at Mateo's photo.
I'd like to go by and talk to Claudia again.
Near an Asian market, Henry browses his phone.
Oh, please. Is this guy for real?
Who?
Detective Steve.
Maggie grabs the phone.
You're stalking him on Facebook?
Who uses a surfing picture as their profile pic?
People who know how to surf and who look pretty good doing it.
Henry snatches the phone back.
Why'd you two break up?
Stop crying.
I'm just trying to save you from another bad ending.
What does that mean?
Surfer dude here is not a guy who's in it for the long haul.
Says the guy who's never been married.
Exactly, because I don't take commitment lightly.
That's the perfect cover for a commitment photo.
Oh, not at all. I just want to do it once, and I want to do it right.
Hmm. Yeah, well, don't we all, okay? But you can't control how others behave.
Maybe not, but you can save yourself a lot of heartache by choosing the right guy in the first place. And this guy, this is adventure guy. This is fun guy. This is also bail at the first sign of trouble guy.
How do you know that?
Because I used to be that guy.
Really?
Some people grow up and some people don't. But I'm just looking out for you.
She eyes him. They meet with Claudia.
I saw something when we were at the party. You and Mateo. You were arguing.
Mateo's been unhappy. He felt Leo didn't appreciate everything he's done for the restaurant. He was threatening to quit. I felt he wasn't being very loyal, and I got angry.
Is there any more to it?
What do you mean?
I mean, your argument seemed a bit more intimate than that.
Are you asking me if Mateo and I are having an affair? No, we're not. My husband was the one with the gorgeous, flirtatious business partner.
We're already looking into Sarah Jennings.
So you should. She owns half the business.
And now you own the other half.
Claudia's brows raise.
I guess you're right. I inherit half of the restaurant and all of Leo's debts. He took out a huge loan recently to upgrade the kitchens. You understand how tight the margins are in the restaurant business, Henry? How fickle it is? It's not like losing my husband is going to make me rich.
Henry's gaze lowers. He frowns. Later, at the station.
You saw how fast she pointed us towards Sarah. I'm telling you, Claudia's hiding something.
As for Dom's story, check out the taco stand in Oakland. They get a huge lunch crown. No one can confirm that he was there.
I still say Mateo is our guy. He had a key to the restaurant, and if he and Claudia were close enough, maybe he knew about the letter.
Henry's eyes narrow in thought.
Wait a minute.
If the legacy is referring to something tangible like jewels, what if there's a clue inside this letter telling us where they're hidden?
So now the letter is a treasure map.
Exactly.
I love that.
What are you, one of the Hardy Boys?
Hey, the Hardy Boys solved every case.
That's totally true.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Henry continues to study the letter. Maggie goes to her desk and picks up her phone.
Oh, well, hello, detective. You got another bogus lead for me already? That was fast.
Henry listens.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to think about that. Okay. Yes to dinner, no to your place. Because I remember your cooking.
Maggie grins.
Fine. 8 o'clock? Okay, I'll see you there. Bye.
As she hangs up, Henry lingers at the coffee maker.
Wow.
Your eavesdropping skills could use a little work.
You're going out with him?
I've already heard your opinion on this, so spare me.
I am not.
Because it's just a dinner, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Although, would it be so bad if it were a date? Because, you know, I hear that's a thing that people do. They go out, they have fun. My mom has a great social life. Abby's never home that much anymore. And maybe I don't want to spend the rest of my life at home alone with my cats.
You don't have cats.
Well, not yet.
Guess what? We may have just found our motive. Sarah Jennings had key man insurance on Leo.
What's that?
That is when a company takes out insurance on someone they consider key to their success. Leo was the head chef at his restaurant for many years before he hired Mateo to take over.
So if Leo's no longer chef, why have insurance on him?
I don't know.
And you never mentioned this before because...
It didn't occur to me.
But secret clues hidden in a letter did?
This key man insurance was pretty hefty. With Leo's death, Sarah was about to receive quite a payout.
How big?
$1 million big.
The captain strategizes.
Henry, call Sarah up and see if you can take her out tonight.
What?
Well, just consider it a field assignment. You know, get close to her, see what you can find out.
I don't think that's a great idea. Henry can't do that. He's never done that.
I don't know. From everything I've seen so far, I disagree.
Really?
Call her up.
Henry looks at Maggie.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
Henry makes a call.
Sarah? Hi, it's Henry. Listen, I know this may sound strange under the circumstances, but seeing you again the other day reminded me how much fun we had. So I was thinking, there's this new restaurant in the Castro that's...
Maggie strolls by.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's the one.
How about I make us some reservations tonight for
8 p.m.?
Okay.
Maggie smirks.
Looking forward to it. Bye-bye.
Henry pounds Bailey's fist.
And that's how that's done.
Okay.
Maggie rises from her chair.
Are you sure you've got this?
Trust me.
Maggie opens her mouth as if to speak, then walks away.
Okay, so what am I doing exactly?
As Henry turns to the captain, she walks away from him too. In the police station parking garage, a person wears red sneakers. They wear a hoodie and lurk behind a pillar. Meanwhile, Maggie enters the garage and walks toward her car. She takes out her keys. Maggie stops, then turns toward the sound.
Hello?
She spots the figure lurking behind the pillar. Maggie reaches for her weapon.
Can I help you?
The person walks away.
Hey!
The person runs through a puddle, then darts through a gate.
Hey!
Maggie chases. Outside, the person in the hoodie scrambles up toward the street. With a red sneaker foot, they kick a wooden pallet to block Maggie's path. Then, they leap into an alley and run away. Maggie loses track of the hooded figure. She peers into the dark, rainy night. At sunset, cars cross the Golden Gate Bridge. At an Asian restaurant, Steve sits with Maggie.
So, here I am, in the middle of nowhere in Costa Rica, with my buddies on the surf trip. First night we check into the hotel, and everybody's wallet gets stolen. Cash, credit cards, everything gone.
So what'd you do?
We slept for 3 nights on the beach until someone could wire us money.
Wow, that sounds really uncomfortable.
You know, actually, it turned out to be one of the best trips I ever took. So what about you? What have you been up to?
Nothing that can compare to that. But, life's good, you know? Abby's doing really well in school, and she's vice president of the student council. And already looking ahead to what colleges she wants to apply to, which is just...
scary?
So scary. I swear it was just yesterday I was dropping her off at kindergarten for the first day, you know? But I guess that's life, right? Things change.
He rests his hand on her wrist.
And yet other things feel exactly the same.
She grins.
So how is the case going?
The weirdest thing happened earlier tonight. There was this guy that was just lurking around in the underground parking lot at the precinct, and he was just staring at me.
Who?
I don't know. I couldn't see his face. He ran, so I chased him, but I couldn't catch him.
She holds up her pointer finger.
But the thing is, he was wearing red sneakers. You know, whoever broke into Leo's restaurant was wearing red sneakers. And even though I couldn't see his face, it was something about him that just seemed familiar, and I couldn't help but think that maybe it was Mateo. I know Mateo's hiding something.
She waves her hand.
Anyway, I'm gonna circle back tomorrow.
Well, why wait?
He raises a hand to flag down a server.
What are you doing?
I'm obviously not gonna get any attention from you until you crack this case, so let's just box this up and we'll go talk to Mateo.
Right now?
Yeah, right now.
Maggie's eyes narrow.
Are you still trying to work your way into my case?
For starters.
They smile. At a restaurant.
I'm so glad you are free. I've been dying to see this menu.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
A server brings meals.
This looks great.
Bon appetit.
Thank you.
Sarah and Henry begin their meal.
The roasted garlic and the mushroom are blended well. How's yours?
The black pepper adds a nice smokiness.
They share a smile.
It's great seeing you.
Me too.
I'm glad things are going well for you.
Truthfully, none of my restaurants are doing that great right now. Leo's death, well, things have been better. But look at you, you're consulting for the police department. It's very impressive.
Well, it's a fairly informal setup. I mean, I like to think that I'm useful.
And what's the deal with you and Detective Price?
Oh, I just work with her sometimes.
Sarah smiles.
That's not what I meant. There's nothing going on between you two?
Me and Maggie? No. No, not at all.
She's a very beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is.
And she's smart, and she's very good at her job. I like to think that we genuinely can enjoy each other's company, but the woman thinks that she's right about everything. I mean, she cannot be wrong. And she treats me like I don't know what I'm talking about, and yet she constantly calls me. So what does that say? She obviously considers me a valuable asset, but she would never admit that in a million years. And that is so Maggie. I mean, I'm sorry. You asked me a question.
How about we get another drink? Can we have the wine list?
Oh, good idea.
Thank you. I'll let you.
Right.
Great. Now you can ask me what you've been waiting all evening to ask me.
Which is what?
About the Keyman insurance I have out on Leo.
Henry's eyes lower to the wine list.
Come on, Henry. Leo's death could make me $1 million, but if I'm not your top suspect, I should be.
Sarah.
Honestly, I still had the insurance because I just forgot to cancel it after Leo hired a new chef. And I'm going to have a really hard time collecting, too, since Leo wasn't the chef when he died. He was the heart and soul of Carmela's, but insurance companies don't pay out for a restaurant's heart and soul.
I see.
Now, let me give you a little unsolicited advice about Maggie.
Henry peers at Sarah.
No matter how tough and independent a woman is, she always appreciates it when a man has the guts to make the first move. Trust me. And don't wait too long. She'll think you're not man enough to step up to the plate.
At the police station.
You know what I think? I think you were in love with Claudia, and you resented working for Leo. Really, he was holding you back in every way, so you decided to get rid of him. You shot him, and when he survived, you went to the hospital and murdered him.
That's crazy.
Mateo looks from Steve to Maggie.
Okay, look. I do love her, okay? Truth is, she loved Leo, which is why she broke it off with me. She felt terrible about our affair. She didn't want to hurt Leo. I would never do anything to hurt her, okay? And that's why I wouldn't do anything to him.
It's very noble of you.
So where were you yesterday at 12:45?
I was out walking.
Out walking? That's the best you got?
I was pretty shaken up by Leo's shooting, okay? I need to clear my head. So I walked along the Embarcadero.
Did you talk to anyone?
No.
How'd you get there?
Streetcar.
Do you have your ticket stub?
Think so.
Mateo digs the stub from his pocket.
Yeah, see? Told ya.
Maggie looks up at Steve.
That's my alibi, right? Can I go now?
Someone was lurking by my car earlier. Was it you?
Nope.
Maggie remembers the chase.
He banged his leg trying to get away. Do you mind rolling up your pant legs for me?
Sure.
Mateo rolls up a pant leg.
Other one?
Mateo lifts his other pant leg. No bruises.
See? Told you. Can I go now?
Steve and Maggie look at each other.
Yeah, you can go.
Mateo leaves. Maggie glumly peers up at Steve. Later, in the garage.
That was a fun evening.
One for the books.
So you want to go back to my place? Can I have a drink? Talk about old times?
Thanks, but I think I'm going to go home.
Hey, how about this weekend?
I can't.
How about you name the date?
I mean, I can't. Look, I came out tonight because I really wanted to see you, and it was great to see you, but it's like you said, you know, things feel exactly the same.
Steve's brows knit.
How is that a bad thing?
Because I'm not the same.
She smiles.
You and I make such a great team at work. But you need adventure and excitement, and I need someone who loves my less than glamorous life as much as I do. I love my life. I'm looking for the right person to share it with. Someone who's going to be in it for the long haul.
Steve looks away awkwardly.
Okay, well, that leaves me with not a lot left to say, for once.
Maggie smiles. Steve kisses her cheek.
Take care of yourself.
You too.
He walks away.
And I hear the part you're not telling me, loud and clear.
What's that?
Well, that you've already found Mr. Longhall. Come on, the consultant guy, the wannabe detective?
Henry? No, it's not like that.
Could have fooled me.
It's not.
See you around.
Bye.
Steve climbs into his car with a smile. Maggie smiles to herself as she walks toward her car. She pauses, then turns back in Steve's direction. Her eyes lower toward the ground as she thinks. Then, she shakes her head and smiles as she moves on. At home, Maggie studies files on her couch. She gets up and walks toward the front door. On the doorstep, Henry waits.
Hey, come on in. Thanks for coming.
Of course.
I just wanted to go over everything one more time.
Okay. I brought you snacks.
Oh, thanks. Although I'm not very hungry, I have to tell you. I just had a huge amount of... Ooh, pretty. You know me too well.
I know that you eat more than most linebackers, but those are not all for you, okay? Where's Abby and your mom?
At the movies. Not for me. So catch me up. How was your night with Sarah?
Her businesses aren't doing that well, so she definitely needs money.
Did you get a chance to ask her about the key man insurance?
I managed to slip that in there. She said that since Leo wasn't the chef at the time of his death, she probably won't collect.
We need to confirm that, but congratulations. First night in the field. How'd it feel?
Not bad.
I knew you could do it.
Henry eyes Maggie affectionately.
Listen, Maggie,
I know. I'm sorry. It's late. Okay. Let's get to it.
Henry blinks.
The question that keeps circling in my mind is, what do all these people have in common?
They all knew Leo personally.
Exactly. Sarah and Mateo have motive.
Look, Maggie.
And Frank, hold on, is our wild card, right? Because everyone else has worked for Leo. Everyone else lives fairly close by, except for Frank, who last we heard was living in LA. And Dom, of course, who lives in Oakland.
Maggie.
What?
Maggie looks up at Henry. He hedges, uncertain.
I just want you to know.
Oakland.
His brows raise.
What?
The toll bridge. I have a contact at the Bay Area Toll Authority. They log every single license plate that crosses in and out of San Francisco. They should be able to tell us if Dom actually went home that night.
Oh, well, that's brilliant.
Thank you.
As she makes a call, he avoids eye contact. She studies him, suddenly aware of his self-consciousness.
Yeah, hi.
In the daytime, Maggie and Henry wait on a porch. Dom opens the door.
Hi, Dom. Can we come in and have a word with you, please?
About what?
We just have a few more questions, that's all.
Yeah.
Dom steps back to allow Maggie and Henry into the foyer. They go into a living room. Empty cans clutter a coffee table.
Do you mind if I use your restroom, Dom?
No, it's just in the hallway.
Thanks.
Maggie walks back into the hall as Henry remains with Dom. She quickly surveys her surroundings. Henry knits his brows. Then, he follows Dom into another room. In a bedroom, Maggie opens cabinets.
You know, I used to spend time living in Oakland.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I used to hate the hassle of commuting into the city every day.
Be rough. Yeah, but you gotta put up with those hassles when you're younger, right? I mean, who can afford a place in the city when you're younger?
In a closet, Maggie finds red sneakers.
But then living out here,
and the tolls add up every time you cross the bridge. Hey, did you know they record your license plate every time you cross?
No.
Yeah, they do. It's a security measure. That's how we know you weren't at home when Leo was murdered.
Maggie carries the sneakers into the kitchen.
What are you doing?
You drove home across the toll bridge after the party at 10 p.m.
She puts them on the counter.
But then you returned back to the city at 10:30. You never went back to Oakland until 1:45 the next day, an hour after Leo was killed.
Hey, just wait a minute.
So where'd you spend the night?
Here. I swear, I spent it here. Somebody must have stolen my car or borrowed it, because I came home that night and I went straight to bed. I swear.
Leo couldn't remember much about the intruder who broke into his place, but he did remember one thing. The guy was wearing red sneakers.
Now would be a really good time to start talking, Dom.
Dom shifts uncomfortably.
Okay, but it's not what you think, I swear. I'm the one that broke into Leo's kitchen, but I didn't take anything. I was just looking for something, that's all.
You were the one outside the precinct last night watching me.
I can't sleep. You know, I can't stop worrying about what's gonna happen. I've been feeling so guilty. I just needed to talk to you, and then I got scared and ran.
What were you looking for?
The diamonds.
Diamonds?
What diamonds?
Dom looks down.
When Claudia and Leo got back from Italy, they told me what Veer had said to them. That Carmela left Italy with a huge stash of family diamonds. They never resurfaced, so Vera said they must still be in the restaurant somewhere.
Well, Leo must have known about them.
He didn't believe it. You know, Aunt Vera wasn't too with it at the end, but I thought, well, what if she's right? And Vera, she gave Claudia this letter, you know, said it contained a clue.
Oh, really? A clue?
Henry looks at Maggie.
Did Claudia believe it?
She lost interest in the whole idea pretty quickly, but me, I couldn't let it go. You know, I kept going in after hours and looking around. I know how this sounds, me trying to steal from Leo after everything that he did for me, but you gotta understand, I grew up with nothing.
Did Leo ever see you?
That last time. I knocked him down, which I still feel bad about, but I was scared, you know, and I ran. But you gotta believe me, I never shot Leo. He wasn't a blood relative, but he meant more to me than most of my own family.
And your car? They came back across the bridge and didn't return to Oakland until an hour after Leo was murdered. How do you explain that? Because the guys at the taco stand, they can't confirm your alibi.
I can't. All I can tell you is that I had nothing to do with this, I swear.
Dom looks into Maggie's eyes, then fidgets.
Now, you can arrest me now?
Outside.
Why didn't you arrest him?
Because all he's guilty of so far is letting himself into the restaurant after hours and not taking anything.
But the car, the toll bridges, the alibis.
I know, but I can't hold him with any of that, you know? He's not a murderer. I don't think he's a flight risk. Although he does know more than he's telling us, which is why I'm trying to keep things friendly in case he feels like talking.
Okay. So what do we do now?
Maggie peers up at Henry.
You tell me.
What do you mean?
I mean, if you were taking the lead, where would we go?
Well, I would go to the Diamond District and see if anyone's tried to sell any diamonds in the last few days.
She smiles.
Great idea.
Really?
Hmm. You're kind of getting the hang of this.
Henry gives a self-satisfied smile, then heads toward the car. Maggie climbs in, still smiling. On a sidewalk in the Diamond District, Maggie and Henry walk together.
Okay. Ninth time's the charm.
They enter Barclays Exchange, a pawn shop. Inside, a man peers at jewelry through a magnifier. Maggie and Henry approach a counter. The man looks up.
Hello.
Hi.
May I help you?
I'm Detective Price with the SFPD. We're looking for someone who may have come in here within the last week with some diamonds to sell.
May have been a fairly large stash.
I don't recall anyone coming in to sell.
Maybe it was just one diamond.
Like I said.
Maybe he just wanted to get it appraised.
The man looks away wearily.
Look, I can't control who comes into my store and what they bring me.
Understood.
Of course.
A guy came in with one diamond. Just one. But it was big. More valuable than you usually see. He wanted it appraised, so I did it. It was worth over $30,000.
What'd the guy look like?
Kind of rough around the edges. I figured he'd stolen it. Since you're here, I'm assuming I was right.
Maggie shares Mateo's photo.
Was it him?
No, he's a little older, kind of big guy.
She shares Frank's photo.
How about him?
Yeah, that's him.
Then, Maggie and Henry wait on Dom's porch. As Dom opens the door, they bustle in.
I want to talk to your father. Where is he?
Well, I don't know. I haven't spoken to him in over a year.
Are you sure about that, Dom? Because we know he's in town. Maybe he borrowed your car.
I don't know.
It's all right, kid. Oh, whoa, relax, detective.
Frank holds his spoon.
It's not loaded. Thanks for trying. I owe you one.
You're coming with us.
All right. Can I just finish what I'm making in there?
What is it, by the way? It smells great.
Oh, thanks. Stuffed cannelloni, my mom's recipe.
Oh, yeah? Did you add lemon zest? I swear, I can smell lemons in here.
I tell you, but I'd have to kill you. It is a family recipe, after all, you know.
Maggie glares. All business.
Right. I'm going to go with them. Here. Don't burn it. Don't oversalt it. Save some for me.
Frank hands the spoon to Dom.
He's right. Don't oversalt that.
At the police station, in an interrogation room.
Borrowed Dom's car after he got home and I took it back into the city.
Why?
I had a date.
And how long did your date last?
Till the morning. Got back to Dom's around 2, but I'm guessing you guys already know that.
Which puts you in the city at the time of Leo's death.
Huh.
Yeah, I guess it does.
Where did the diamond come from?
An acquaintance owed me some money, gave me the diamond. I was having it authenticated.
Hmm. Or maybe Leo had a hidden stash of diamonds from his grandmother and you killed him for it.
Oh, you mean his crazy Aunt Vera's story.
So you've heard of them?
Sure. Yeah, Claudia told me. She also told me that the woman wasn't playing with a full deck. She thought she was Cleopatra in a past life.
So you're saying there's no truth to the story?
No, there is. It's why Leo and my sister work 12-hour shifts at the restaurant. Because they're sitting on this massive fortune of diamonds.
Cut the sarcasm, Frank, or I'll be happy to keep you here all night.
I'm sorry, detective. Am I under arrest?
Not yet.
Henry's eyes lock on Maggie's heart-shaped necklace. As her necklace dangles, he remembers the heart-shaped diamond necklace in Carmela's portrait at the restaurant.
Well, then you can't keep me here all night, can you? I keep our family legacy close to my heart.
Maggie, can we take a break for a second?
Can it wait?
No, I need to talk to you now.
Maggie joins Henry in the hall.
Coffee would be great.
Are you kidding me? What are you doing?
I know where they're hidden.
What?
Your pendant. It's exactly like the pendant in the painting. When Carmela said she's keeping her family legacy close to her heart, what if she meant it literally?
You think the diamonds are hidden behind the painting?
In her letter, she said that her marriage was unhappy. She would have hidden the diamonds because she didn't trust him. What I don't understand is why Leo didn't sell them.
Because he never knew about them. But somebody did.
At night, crime scene tape blocks the restaurant door. Inside, Carmela's portrait hangs above the fireplace. Henry and Maggie enter the restaurant. They gaze up at the painting. Henry reaches for the frame.
Moment of truth.
Here we go.
He lifts the painting off the wall. On the back, they find torn paper.
Would you look at that?
Beneath the paper, a hidden box.
It's like we found our hiding place.
The box is empty.
Now we just have to find our diamonds.
Maggie and Henry leave the restaurant.
So, do we arrest Frank?
On what charges? So far, all we have is a ripped painting, a theory about long-lost diamonds, a dead body. Believe it or not, I can't actually arrest anybody with that. Who would have known about the painting? It must be somebody in the family, or close to the family.
Claudia wouldn't need to kill Leo. She could have just taken them.
Unless he tried to stop her.
Look, I've known Claudia forever. She's no killer.
All right, so what about Sarah? You said she was struggling financially. Claudia told us she used to flirt with Leo. Maybe they were in a relationship. Maybe Leo did know about the diamonds and just thought they were safe where they were. I mean, they've been hidden there for 70 years, right? He told Sarah and...
And she killed him for the diamonds.
Maybe you don't know her as well as you thought you did.
She answers her phone.
Price.
We've got some on Frank. On the day of Leo's murder, he used a city bus pass at two locations.
On speakerphone.
First on the corner of Melbourne and Hastings at 1:45 p.m.
Melbourne and Hastings, that's near Dom's house. What's the second location?
He got on the second bus at Westminster and Colfax 3 hours after he got on the first bus.
A nearby bank surveillance camera picked up Frank entering an electronic store at 2626 Westminster. We're watching the surveillance footage right now.
Why do I know that address?
In front of the video store? We hid it during the investigation of the Coleman murder.
That's right. With fake passports and social security numbers sold out the back door.
That's the one.
Yeah. So Frank was buying fake IDs the day Leo was murdered?
That's what we gotta find out. Thanks, Monroe.
Later, at the electronics store.
Can I help you?
I need a passport and maybe an out-of-state driver's license. Can you help me with that?
Excuse me, you can't go back there.
Maggie flashes her badge as she barges into an office. She creeps toward a partially open door.
SFPD, hands up.
A man looks up.
Detective Price. It's been a while.
Walter Isaacs. I should have known. Then again, I wasn't expecting you out for at least another 5 years.
What can I say? I'm a model prisoner. Early release. Why don't you put the gun down, Detective? There's no violent criminals here. Just an artist's work.
I can see that. I also see that prison hasn't dampened your skills.
I'd be happy to show you more of my work, Detective, if I could just see a warrant first.
Oh, this isn't a bust. I was just looking for the bathroom. I guess I kicked down the wrong door.
Everything okay in here?
We're fine. I'll be right up.
All right. New partner.
Maggie shuts her eyes.
Don't ask.
So, how would you like to play this, Detective? Shall we get lawyers?
I'm going to make this real easy. You get a one-time pass, if me with this person.
She shows Frank's photo.
Did you sell to this guy?
He's been here, yes.
Hmm. What did he want, and where was he going?
Well, he wasn't going anywhere. He wanted a passport and social security number for a woman.
A woman? Do you have a name or any photos?
I don't exactly keep records, detective. Once a job is done, that's it.
But you must have had a photo. What did she look like?
Black hair, early 30s. Pretty.
Maggie pulls up a photo of Claudia on her phone.
Is this her?
Yeah, that's her.
Maggie's eyes travel to the ID photos scattered across Walter's desk. She stands.
This was a one-time deal. Consider this place shut down. If I find you again, you're going back.
Walter puts on his glasses.
Always a pleasure, Maggie.
With a magnifier, he continues to work on a fake ID. Henry waits on a doorstep with his phone. Maggie arrives.
She's been answering your phone or the door.
Yeah, I didn't see her car out front.
Why don't we just let ourselves in?
Because I would need a warrant for that.
Well, perks of being a civilian with a misspent youth.
I can't let you do that.
Look, Leo is my friend. I'm going to do whatever it takes to help solve his murder. If you don't want to be implicated with this, then I suggest you wait out here.
Henry, I'm serious. Do not go in there.
Henry picks the lock and lets himself in.
Henry?
You can be my lookout.
He winks, then shuts the door.
You're on your own.
Through a window, he waves. Maggie glares. Inside the house, Henry walks up a staircase. Maggie waits outside, hands in her pockets. She walks down the porch stairs, then pulls out her phone. In the darkened house, he steps into a living room. He rests his hand on top of a desk, then heads into Leo and Claudia's bedroom. On the wall, he switches on a light. Outside, Maggie peers around impatiently. In the house, Henry steps in front of a circular wall mirror. He leans down to rifle through desk drawers. Outside, Maggie checks her phone. Then, she walks. In the house, Henry continues to search the desk. Outside, Maggie leaves the yard. She closes a gate behind her. Near the restaurant, a car pulls up with its lights on. As Claudia parks, Maggie waves and smiles at her. Then, Maggie makes a phone call.
Oh, come on.
Henry checks his phone.
Really? Can't trust me to do this?
He doesn't answer. Maggie hangs up. She smiles again as Claudia climbs out of the car.
Hi. Hi, Maggie. What are you doing here? I just wanted to drop by and check in on you, make sure you're doing okay.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you. I guess I'm exactly as you would think. In shock, mostly.
In the house, Henry continues to search drawers. One is locked. He opens an armoire, then searches in storage bins and beneath pillows. Under a sweater, he finds a tasseled keychain with a key attached. Henry eyes the drawer, then tries to fit the key into the lock. It doesn't work. Henry pauses, key in hand. Then, he carries the key out of the bedroom. The key fits into the lock on the desk in the living room. He turns the key, then opens the front panel of the desk. Claudia reaches for shopping bags.
Oh, can I help you with those?
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
You sure?
Yeah, if you'll excuse me, I just have to get these things into the freezer.
Of course. You have a good night.
You too.
As Claudia walks toward the house, Maggie peers at her phone.
God, come on.
Inside, Henry digs through papers in the desk. He slides open a drawer. Outside, Maggie types on her phone. Text from Maggie Reed, she's coming, get out. Henry searches the desk. He taps a drawer inside the desk. Outside, Maggie peers up at the house as she waits for Henry. Claudia approaches the door. She reaches for her keys. Henry slides the desk drawer out. He reaches into the opening behind it. Then, he pulls out a small jewelry pouch. Claudia unlocks the door. She picks up her bags from the porch, then steps into the foyer. Henry pours diamonds out of the jewelry pouch as Claudia heads upstairs. She pauses.
Hello?
Henry shoves the drawer back into place, then scoops up the diamonds. He grabs his phone and shuts the desk. Then, he runs. On the stairs, Claudia carries her groceries. Outside, Maggie's jaw tenses. In a bathroom, Henry opens a window. He climbs out onto a fire escape. Maggie looks up at him. In the living room, Claudia spots the key on top of the desk. She puts her bags on the floor. Henry shuts the window. Maggie waves Henry toward her. He climbs down the fire escape ladder. In the living room, Claudia opens the desk. She yanks out the drawer. Her lips press into a thin line. Outside, Henry and Maggie run.
Over here.
They hide near a gate. Claudia pauses in the bathroom.
Oh, that was close.
Way too close.
Henry and Maggie face each other. Their foreheads rest together as they grin. Then, they gaze into each other's eyes.
You know, back when you asked if I were to take the lead.
Maggie nods.
Well,
Henry looks into Maggie's eyes. Slowly, he leans forward and kisses her. As their kiss ends, she stares up at him with a smile. Then, she leans in for another kiss. As she tugs at his coat, his hands stroke her hair. With his thumb, he strokes her cheek as the kiss ends. Maggie smiles up at him as his hands leave her hair.
Hi.
Hi.
Henry smiles.
So.
Well,
He pulls out the jewelry pouch.
I found them.
What? What?
She opens the pouch.
Oh my, these have to be worth a fortune.
So what do we do now? Do we go in and arrest her? No, wait, I know. This is the part where you tell me why we don't go in there and arrest her.
Well, for starters, now that you removed the evidence from the crime scene, I don't even know if these are admissible.
Bad move?
Yeah, I'd say that's a bad move. Give me the diamonds.
Claudia.
Not a word.
Claudia aims a gun at Maggie and Henry. Henry gives the diamonds back to Claudia.
Inside.
You know what a really bad move is, Claudia? Detaining an officer at gunpoint. So stop this now before you do something stupid.
Too late. Come on, Claudia, drop the gun. Let's just talk.
Why? No judge will ever believe that this was all an accident. Now give me your gun.
Maggie doesn't move.
Give me your gun right now or I will shoot, and this has already gone too far. You don't think I would?
Okay.
Maggie reaches for the gun at her hip.
Here.
Claudia tucks Maggie's gun into her waistband. Then, Maggie steps back toward Henry. Claudia steps back toward the house, gun still aimed.
Inside.
Maggie turns to Henry, then walks toward Claudia with her hands raised. Henry follows. Maggie and Henry walk up the stairs. Claudia aims the gun at them as she follows. Claudia ushers Maggie and Henry into the restaurant kitchen. She aims the gun at them.
I know you won't believe me, but I never meant to hurt my husband.
Henry's brows knit. Maggie reaches into her pocket.
You don't think having an affair was hurting Leo?
She hits the call button.
Hey, Maggie, what's up? Hello?
I knew it would destroy me.
He knew. That's why I broke things off. Our marriage wasn't a happy one, Henry.
Biz.
On speakerphone.
Going to Italy was our chance to rekindle things. We just weren't in love with each other anymore.
I don't even know how it happened. The things between us just died. I was ready to leave. And when you found the diamonds, you suddenly had your ticket out of here. I figured out the clue in the letter. They were in the painting,
hidden in plain sight all this time.
Let's go.
I saw my chance to leave and start over with a fortune. You can hardly blame me for that.
But you didn't have to kill Leo.
Claudia shuts her eyes, then opens them tearfully.
He was supposed to be out for a walk. And he'd been watching me.
Leo unzips a suitcase.
He found my packed suitcase upstairs. And the diamonds. He confronted me before I could leave.
Claudia enters the kitchen. Leo avoids her eyes.
You back soon?
As far as the coffee shop. I realized I didn't feel like taking a walk today.
Are you feeling all right?
I could make you some breakfast.
And get these?
He pulls out the diamonds.
Thank you. I wouldn't want to leave those behind.
Claudia unzips her purse. She takes out a gun.
Did you get that? Huh? And these diamonds? Claudia, what is going on?
Leo, I'm leaving. Give me the bag.
Claudia reaches for the diamonds. She and Leo struggle. Claudia's jaw drops as Leo staggers backwards. He looks down. As he pulls his hand away from his stomach, blood streaks his shaky palm. Leo stares. He hits the counter as he collapses to the ground. Claudia blinks rapidly and backs away.
So it wasn't your fault? It was an accident?
Yes. I swear to you. Then Frank killed Leo at the hospital.
Why?
I promised him a share of the diamonds if he delivered me the new passport. And then after what happened with Leo...
He knew that if Leo ever woke up, it was all over, and he would never get his share.
I had no idea my brother could do something so terrible.
After Frank killed Leo, why didn't you come to us?
Because I was terrified of what he might do to me. Which is why I have to leave. And you have to let me.
Frank Ames.
No one's going anywhere. I will take that. Thank you. Over there with them.
He takes Claudia's gun.
Hello again. So, where are the diamonds?
I have them.
Oh, that's inconvenient. But I guess that means that you're coming with me then.
Sorry, Frank, I'm not going anywhere. You're gonna have to shoot me.
I'm not fooling around.
Police arrive.
Freeze! Lower your weapon!
Drop your weapon, Frank!
Maggie grabs her gun from Claudia's waistband. Frank stares at her, wide-eyed. Frank lunges. Maggie shoots him in the shoulder.
Get up.
Monroe and Bailey cuff Frank.
Come on. Let's get him out of here.
Henry turns to Maggie. Outside, Bailey leads Claudia to a squad car.
So, you're a sharpshooter too, huh?
Ah, flesh wound. It'll be all right. I'm starving.
You literally can always eat. It's amazing.
Are you in or not?
I'm in. You know, I've got this great place.
Nope. I've been doing a little research. So follow me.
Later, outside an Asian restaurant.
So, I read this place has the best spicy noodles in the city.
Henry grins.
But
I am going to make a foodie out of you yet, aren't I?
Maggie smiles as they walk.
So, are we going to talk about what happened?
About the fact that you kissed me? I'd rather not right now.
Okay. How about the fact that you kissed me back?
I wouldn't say I kissed you back.
Oh, really? What would you call it?
You came at me out of the blue.
Oh, that was hardly out of the blue. You were waiting for me to kiss you.
What? I was on a case. The last thing I was thinking about was anybody kissing me.
Ah, well, you could have fooled me.
Henry stares at her.
Wait. Did it actually just happen?
What?
Did I actually get the last word?
No.
I did. I just got the last word.
No, you didn't.
Yes. Yeah, I kind of did. I had you stumped. You were just walking there, not saying anything.
Maggie pulls Henry into a passionate kiss. She releases her grip on his coat, then smiles.
You didn't have me stumped.
Maggie saunters away.
Okay, you win that one.